Good morning. It's great to have you listening today, and we appreciate so much your joining us on the broadcast. We always enjoy studying with you, and we always count it a joy and a privilege and an honor to be able to open up the Bible and study it together. We're going to be looking today at Luke chapter 21, and let me encourage you right now to open your own Bible to Luke chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 34 through 36. We've been looking at this chapter for some time, but we've been trying to take it slow and make sure that we understand what Jesus is saying here to the best of our ability. And so we come to verse 34 today as Jesus ends up this discussion about the destruction of Jerusalem. And he ends with a personal exhortation and a warning to these people. In verse 34 of Luke chapter 21, here's what Jesus said. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare, it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Now, what I want to do today is to look very carefully at the words that Jesus uses here. And as we look at them and try to best as we can understand them, we want to apply these words to our lives. We want to apply these words to our time. And especially, we want to apply the spirit of what Jesus is saying here to our time. I know that we don't live in the first century. I know that this warning was given to Jesus' disciples about what was going to happen in the city of Jerusalem. But you know what, folks? The warning there is something that is needed in any age, because we need to live right at any time. And so the warning and the words and the exhortation that we find in verse 34 is very relevant to us today. So let's look at what he says here and try our best to define what these words mean. Remember, the warning has been given. Jerusalem will be destroyed. Jesus told the disciples what to look for. He gave them indications that the end of the city was near. But they would have to watch. They would have to pay attention. And if they forgot what Jesus said, or if they got too busy with their own personal affairs, then they would get caught in that city. And if they turned away from Jesus' teaching, then they would end up losing their lives and losing their soul in the process. Now remember, it was about A.D. 33 when Jesus gave this teaching and this warning in Luke chapter 21. And it was almost 40 years later that Jesus' warnings came true, that is, when the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. And during that time, we know that there were Christians that fell away. There were some members of the church that fell into apostasy. As a matter of fact, when you read the book of Hebrews, it's very interesting. The book of Hebrews is entitled Hebrews because the Christians there are from a Hebrew background. That means they had been Jews and had converted to Christianity. But in that book, we find that there were some of those Christians that turned back to Judaism. They turned back to the old law. Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6, he talks about those people. And so the book of Hebrews is written to Hebrew Christians. Now, there are some who believe that the book of Hebrews was written to the Christians in Jerusalem. I don't know that that could be proved. I wouldn't know how to go about proving that. But at the same time, if that's possible, then that would make perfect sense that he's warning those people in the book of Hebrews. But even if it's not the case that those Hebrew Christians lived in Jerusalem and in that area, still it would be an appropriate warning to these people. And it would be a good exhortation for them because AD 70 was looming in their future. So let's begin here in verse 34 and let's examine Jesus' words very carefully and very deliberately. The Bible says that he told his disciples, "Take heed to yourselves." That is, pay attention to your lives. Pay attention to life in general and look at your own life, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. Now let's look at the words overcharged and surfeiting in your King James Version. The word overcharged is a word that means to be weighed down with something. The word surfeiting is an interesting word. Notice that he has the word surfeiting and then the word drunkenness. Now, the word drunkenness here means exactly what we understand it to mean. That is, it means literally getting drunk. The word surfeiting is a word that involves drunkenness, but it puts an emphasis on the effects of that drunkenness, the dizziness, the staggering, the hangovers, the headaches that go with drunkenness. So that's why you've got two different words here. The surfeiting talks about the effects of the drunkenness, and the drunkenness is just that state of intoxication itself. So Jesus said, be careful. Be aware of what's going on around you. Remember what I've said. Take it to heart. Believe it with all of your hearts. And live the Christian life so that you don't get caught up in the sins of this world, so that your hearts are not weighed down with surfeiting, that is, this drunken state and the effects of that drunken state, so that your mind is dulled, so that your attention is on getting over this drunkenness that you've been through. All those things cause people not to think about what they need to be thinking about. When a man is absorbed with drinking, when he lives his life for alcohol, whether he's an alcoholic or whether he's one of these people, and we have many of them in this country, who work all week for one purpose, and that is to get drunk on the weekend. Anytime you have a person like that who is absorbed with drinking, he's not going to think about things that are spiritual. He's not going to think about eternity. All he's doing is thinking about the next time when he can get drunk. Jesus warns his disciples not to get caught up in anything like that. Don't ever go in that direction, because the world will pull you in that direction. And I believe there's something very practical about this as well, folks, in that when you look at these disciples, when you look at these people who were followers of Jesus in the first century, you might think that since they had been with Jesus personally, that they would never be tempted to do something like that. That they would always think about how that they saw the Lord, how that they heard him with their own ears, and that that would leave such an impression on them that they would never even think about leaving him or betraying him and going astray and doing the things that he's talking about here. But you know, even though there were people that were right there with Jesus Christ, there were people that betrayed him. Judas Iscariot did. How could Judas Iscariot do what we read about in the New Testament? He was with Jesus, he saw Jesus, he heard Jesus, and yet he betrayed him. So we shouldn't get in our minds that just because these people were there with Jesus, that they were so strong that they would never even be tempted. These people were, and their minds were so set on drinking and things of that nature, that Jesus says here that they would be in danger of the very event that he was warning them about. Something else, as a sideline matter that I want to bring up here, is the fact that you have some people today that talk about drinking in the Bible, and you hear this said. Sometimes people say, well, the Bible doesn't condemn just drinking some. It condemns getting drunk, but it doesn't really say anything about drinking, and it doesn't really say that that's a sin. It just says that drunkenness is a sin. Well, folks, that's not true. The Bible does talk about drinking as well as drunkenness. In Proverbs chapter 23, verses 29 through 35, Solomon said, don't look on the wine when it's in the cup. So Solomon said, you stay away from it from the very start. That's Proverbs chapter 23, 29 through 35. And then you have a word that specifically refers to drinking. It's translated banquetings in the King James Version, but that's found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. But here's what I'm talking about in particular. Sometimes people go to the qualifications for deacons found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and they pull out a statement that is made there, not given to much wine. And they say, see, there it is. It says, don't be given to much wine, so that means I can be given to a little wine. Now, let me show you how ridiculous that is. Here in Luke chapter 21, Jesus said, don't let your hearts be overcharged or weighed down with surfeiting and drunkenness. They see, these same people say you can't get drunk, but you can drink just a little bit. Here Jesus said, don't be weighed down with drunkenness. Does that mean it would be all right to get drunk as long as you're not weighed down with it? Does that mean that it would be all right to get drunk as long as you're not, as the King James says, overcharged with drunkenness? That is, as long as you don't overdo it? Why, that's ridiculous, isn't it? And that exposes this reasoning that sometimes people use about that qualification given in 1 Timothy chapter 3 about drinking. So he says, don't be overcharged. Don't be weighed down with these things. And don't be weighed down with the cares of this life. Now, he's talking about the concerns and the worries about life. Some of these concerns are okay and even necessary. Some of them are just what we want. In other words, he's talking about the physical things of this life, the things of this world that we see from day to day and we have responsibilities about, making a living, our finances, our house, our job, our plans. Sometimes even Christians think about those things so much that they forget and they neglect their soul. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that sometimes Christians fall away because of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, Matthew 13, verse 22. So Jesus said, be careful. Make sure that you're not led away by the sins of the flesh and by the cares of this world, and that day catch you unawares, as he says. Somebody says, well, how could that happen anyway? Jesus plainly told them that the city was going to be destroyed. He plainly told them what the warning signs would be. So how could any of his disciples forget? How could any of his disciples not really take this to heart? How could any of his disciples not listen? But folks, don't people do that every day? There are people in this country that do not care where this country is headed. They don't care what kind of shape we're in. They don't care what our future holds in store. All they want to do is work enough during the week to get drunk on the weekends. Their minds are too dull from drinking to really think about anything more serious than that. There are others that are so busy, they are so consumed with day-to-day earthly needs and responsibilities that they ignore the danger. So people are doing the same thing today. And should this surprise us really, folks? What happened during the flood? Noah warned the people, but there were many people that died in the flood. This is what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. This is what happened to the Jews when the Babylonians invaded in the book of Jeremiah. And this is exactly what we're finding here in Luke chapter 21. Jesus knew human nature, and that's why he gives this warning. And sadly, folks, and even more importantly, this is what so many people do about the great judgment day. They know it's coming, but they get caught up in the world, and when that day comes, they're going to be unprepared. Make sure that your heart and your life are right in the sight of God and that you're ready for that day. Thank you so much for listening today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.